The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, I'm Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Vision News. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Blind Post. Lori Modus announces her last issue is coming out August 11th. From Disability Scoop, Federal Disability Employment Program bans subminimum wage. From the Washington Post, after the Wisconsin Supreme Court absentee ballot decision, disabled people sue. From the AFB, the Access and Engagement 3 on the COVID-19 impact on education. Three little articles from Cool Blind Tech on Samsung, Discord, and Remo Pick. And if I have a chance, Tom's Guide has an article on iOS 16 beta. So let's get started. From Lori Modus, The Blind Post at groups.io, The Blind Post new submission reminder for August. Important, please read. This is the last one. Hello, Blind Post subscribers. The last issue of The Blind Post classified news will be emailed on or before August 11th. All notices 150 words or less are free. To all my writers and anyone else that would like, please give any comments or contact issue info only issue if you wish. I will need all submissions on or before August 6th. Note, if you do have a notice for this fall that you would like to share with Blind Post readers, please email those as well. This will be the grand finale after 12 years. More details will be in the August issue. Email all submissions to foodlady@theblindpost.com. Thank you, Lori, a.k.a. Food Lady. From DisabilityScoop.com, Federal Disability Employment Program bans subminimum wage. A major federal program that facilitates jobs for people with disabilities working on government contracts will soon no longer allow them to be paid less than minimum wage. Under a rule finalized this month, the Ability One program will prohibit payment of what's known as subminimum wage. Current law allows employers to obtain special 14C certificates from the U.S. Department of Labor to pay people with disabilities less than the federal minimum of $7.25 per hour. But increasingly, cities and states are barring the practice. The new rule, which takes effect October 19th, will ban the use of 14C certificates to pay employees working on the new Ability One contracts, as well as extensions or renewals, and when exercising options on existing contracts. However, nonprofit agencies working with Ability One are being given the option to request an extension of up to a year to come into compliance. Ending payment of subminimum wages is a major step forward for the Ability One program, said Jeffrey Kozes, chairperson of the Ability One Commission, an independent federal agency that administers the program. While payment of subminimum wages has been declining in the program for years, it is past time to ensure that all employees are fairly compensated for their work. With the change, people with disabilities employed through Ability One contracts will earn at least the federal, state, or local minimum wage. In some cases, they will be paid even more due to federal pay requirements for certain types of jobs. About 40,000 individuals who are blind or have significant disabilities are employed through Ability One at over 1,000 locations nationwide. The program directs federal contracts to a network of some 450 nonprofit agencies, which provided nearly $4 billion in products and services to the government in fiscal year 2021 alone. Finalizing the rule makes good on a plan that was proposed last fall. Ability One said it received 183 comments in response to the proposal, the overwhelming majority of which were supportive. The program has been under pressure in recent years with a 2020 report from the National Council on Disability arguing that Ability One promotes segregation, does not increase employment opportunities for people with disabilities, and should end. Eric Buehlmann, B-U-E-H-L-M-A-N-N, Deputy Executive Director for Public Policy at the National Disability Rights Network, welcomed the decision by Ability One to stop paying subminimum wage, but said that the commission administering the program ought to do more. It is far past time that the commission prohibit the payment of subminimum wages for employees on Ability One contracts, he said. However, the rule does not go far enough. The commission should have also precluded participating Ability One nonprofits from using 14C certificates anywhere in their workforce, not just on Ability One contracts. From WashingtonPost.com, after Wisconsin Supreme Court absentee ballot decision, disabled people sue. Lawsuit says new rules for returning ballots violate the U.S. Constitution, the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. Article by Patrick Marley, M-A-R-L-E-Y. Absentee ballots in stacks during a recount of Milwaukee County's election results at the Wisconsin Center on November 20th, 2020. That's a photo description taken by Taylor Glascock for the Washington Post. Four disabled people are asking a federal judge to ensure they can vote this fall after the Wisconsin Supreme Court limited how absentee ballots can be cast. In a 4-3 ruling this month, the state's high court ruled voters could not give their completed absentee ballots to someone else to return in for them. That policy will make it impossible or extremely difficult for some voters to cast ballots, according to the lawsuit filed Friday in a federal court in Madison. The lawsuit asks the federal court to allow disabled voters to give their ballots to others to return for them, arguing that the new regimen in Wisconsin violates the U.S. Constitution, the Voting Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, and the Americans with Disabilities Act. The lawsuit reignites a dispute over how ballots are returned in a battleground state in the run-up to elections for governor and U.S. senator. Absentee ballots have already been sent to voters for the August 9th primaries. The state Supreme Court ruling from this month also banned the use of absentee ballot drop boxes. The lawsuit does not seek to overturn that part of the decision. Instead, it focuses on the part of the ruling that found voters can turn in only their own ballots when they visit an election clerk's office. Supporters of the decision said that part of the ruling would help prevent what they dismiss as ballot harvesting, in which partisan groups pick up ballots from voters and turn them over to election officials. Critics argued the ruling went too far because it prevents someone from returning the ballots of their family members when they turn in their own. Those who filed Friday's lawsuit said the high court's ruling is dire for them and will prevent them from voting. Among those bringing the lawsuit is Timothy Carey, C-A-R-E-Y, who was unable to move his body because he has Duchenne muscular dystrophy. Visiting the polls in person is extremely difficult for him because he requires the use of a ventilator and other medical equipment. It's also dangerous for him because his immune system would have difficulty fighting off the coronavirus. Carey, who has voted absentee for more than 30 years, can't place his own ballot in the mail or turn it in to a clerk because he doesn't have the use of his hands. After the Wisconsin Supreme Court issued a preliminary ruling in March limiting how absentee ballots could be returned, Carey said he was furious. Once again, the government treats adults to their own ends rather than like their people, and they don't think about the disabled at all. And I don't think they want to think of us, he said in an interview at the time. They haven't even considered us. While the state Supreme Court ruling said voters could not give their ballots to someone else to turn in for them in person, it did not address whether they could have someone else place them in the mail for them. But days after the ruling, the director of the State Elections Commission, Megan Wolfe, W-O-L-F-E, told reporters the voter is the one required to mail their ballot. The lawsuit argues that stance makes it impossible for Carey and the others who brought the lawsuit to vote. Now plaintiffs are faced with an impossible and unlawful choice: abstain from voting altogether or risk that their ballots would be invalidated, or that their only available method to vote absentee, ballot return assistance, could subject them to prosecution, their attorney, Scott Thompson, wrote in the lawsuit. Carey and the others brought their lawsuit with the help of Law Forward, a liberal nonprofit law firm based in Madison focused on voting rights. The group represented Disability Rights Wisconsin and other groups in the lawsuit before the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Attorney General Josh Kaul, K-A-U-L, Democrat, who is defending the State Elections Commission, argued in a statement that state law allows voters to have someone else put their ballots in the mail for them. Every eligible voter in Wisconsin should be able to cast a ballot, he said. From AFB.org, Access and Engagement 3, reflecting on the educational impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The third Access and Engagement report serves as a follow-up to two prior studies conducted earlier in the pandemic. The first, Access and Engagement 1, investigated the impacts of the rapid transition from in-person to remote learning early in the pandemic. Access and Engagement 2 gathered data in November 2020, documenting the experiences of children, families, and educators across a patchwork of differing educational delivery models. Access and Engagement 3 adds to these earlier findings and continues the story as schools gradually returned to in-person teaching. In addition to survey data from educators, the current study features qualitative findings obtained through focus groups and interviews, sharing personal accounts of challenges, successes, and reflections on the potential long-term impacts of the pandemic. These findings point to both systemic and COVID-specific issues limiting the educational success of children who are blind or have low vision. The study also highlights perspectives that were not specifically included in the first two studies, information shared by administrators of schools for blind students, families of children with multiple disabilities, and Spanish-speaking families of blind and low-vision children. There's a hot link to download the full report, or you can read the entire report online with a different hot link. The first article from Cool Blind Tech was posted July 18th. Samsung reveals new accessibility update for the Galaxy Watch. Samsung announced that its forthcoming One UI Watch 4.5 update will add new accessibility features to its Galaxy Watch 4 and Watch 4 Classic smartwatches. The settings will essentially allow users to adjust audio and visual settings, including color adjustments and rebalancing stereo audio. Will the update include users who have a hard time distinguishing colors? For users who may have a hard time distinguishing colors, the update will allow them to tweak the display with various color filters. Samsung is also introducing settings so users can increase contrast to make fonts more readable, disable transparency and blur effects, and remove any animations. Are there any updates for people who are hard of hearing? People who are hard of hearing will be able to adjust the balance between left and right audio outputs to a Bluetooth headset. However, Samsung says in the fine print that this feature won't work during phone calls. This company will also let you extend how long touchscreen taps last and disable repeated taps, and the update allows users to decide how long volume controls and notifications appear on the screen. Are there any other updates? As for settings, Samsung is consolidating accessibility options into one menu so they're easier to find. If there's a feature you commonly use, you can also forego the menu entirely and program a shortcut to the watch's home button. Samsung will also let you create a favorites list of your preferred watch faces for faster access. To make typing on a smartwatch display easier, the Galaxy Watches will add new writing inputs to their QWERTY keyboards like swipe to type, handwriting, and dictation. Samsung says the new keyboard will let users easily switch between those different input methods depending on what's most convenient for them moment to moment. For instance, if you are dictating a text aloud, you can then switch to handwriting for extra privacy. Finally, the Galaxy Watch lineup will get dual SIM support, provided it's paired to a dual SIM Galaxy phone. If so, you can set which is your preferred SIM card, and that'll automatically sync with the watch. That way, users can make and take calls from two separate numbers. When is the update expected to roll out to users? Samsung says One UI Watch 4.5 is slated for the third quarter of this year and will also be available on any future Galaxy Watch series. It is expected to be on the upcoming Samsung Galaxy Watch 5. The company generally holds an unpacked event in late summer, and that's historically been when Samsung unveils any new smartwatches before they ship in the fall. The second article was posted on Cool Blind Tech July 11th. Discord launches new accessibility features. Discord has released several accessibility features on desktop, iOS, and web, with Android support coming in the future. What is one of the features? A new role call-ORS feature allows servers to display a colored dot next to a user's name if they have been assigned a role in the server. This option may be preferable in servers that assign bright colors to their roles or use colors that may be hard to see while using Discord's dark or light visual themes. What is the Windows High Contrast Mode? The Windows High Contrast Mode feature allows users to apply custom high contrast themes to natively across Windows. Discord said users with visual impairments can customize how Discord renders, customizing key colors that are then put onto the interface and can make your app more readable. Are there any other features? Users can now add alt text to images on mobile devices. In addition to adding these new features, Discord said it is open sourcing the React Native drag and drop backend, so other developers can make drag and drop experiences accessible for their own users. How can users access Discord's accessibility features? Users can access Discord's accessibility features through the platform's user settings menu. This article from Cool Blind Tech was posted July 18th. RemoPick Smart Glasses Help Seniors Shop From Home. The RemoPick Smart Glasses were introduced in Iizuna, Japan at ICT Kobo in May, according to Nikkei Asia. These smart glasses enable senior shoppers to get what they need from convenience stores from the comforts of their homes. How does it work? A clerk will need to wear the glasses, and the footage will be relayed to the customer shopping via their mobile phone or tablet back at home in real time. The customer will need to tap the merchandise on the device, which will direct the clerk to choose the product. After that, the order will be delivered to customers. The project started in June with orders taken once a week. It was used by 13 people in their 60s and older during the first 2 weeks. The customers can also receive assistance through voice chat. What was the initial purpose for the RemoPick? Initially, the RemoPick was offered to general customers in May, which was designed to assist people in apple picking. This is to enable elderly farmers to pass their knowledge on cultivating apples easily from their homes. However, things took a turn as the smart glasses were repurposed for the smart shopper trial, considering the growing population of older people in the area. Iizuna has several residents with mobility issues. Therefore, smart glasses would be utilized more in the town. To add to that, the town is situated in a hilly region at the foot of Mount Iizuna, which makes it even more challenging to travel. That is spelled Iizuna. Most of the stores in town are in the center, and a lot of residents find it difficult to shop. Iizuna had tried to resolve the problem with on-demand buses, but only a limited number of buses are available. Also, convenience stores expanded their online delivery services, but there were delays in accepting the adoption of the services. It was then they decided to experiment with RemoPick to make it easier for the elderly to shop for what they need without the need to go to town center. What are some of the challenges? During the trial period, there were challenges that have surfaced. For one, the RemoPick adds more work to the staffers at convenience stores. Therefore, the ICT Kobo will look for ways to reduce the workload. One of their ideas includes outsourcing the selection and delivery of products. How long is the trial? The RemoPick trial will run through July, and a second test will begin in September. If things are successful, there will be a full-scale launch in early 2023. So far, the smart glasses are helpful and seem to be doing their job to help elderly shoppers get the things they need without having to go out. Posted on TomsGuide.com, iOS 16 Mail, the five biggest changes coming to your iPhone. Article by Philip Michaels. Mail isn't the flashiest app that Apple includes on its phones, but it is one that a lot of iPhone users turn to when they need to stay in touch with friends, colleagues, or clients. And iOS 16, Apple's upcoming software release, adds a number of enhancements and new features aimed at helping you find messages more quickly and be more efficient when sending out email. You can already experience many of the new iOS 16 Mail features when you download the iOS 16 public beta. Other announced changes remain a work in progress and may become more apparent with subsequent updates leading up to the release of the full version of iOS 16 in the fall. Now that I've laid out some first impressions about the software update in my iOS 16 public beta hands-on, there's a hot link for that, I'm going back and spending more time with the new capabilities appearing in various built-in apps, including Mail. And while the Mail app's new features aren't the most earth-shattering changes introduced by iOS 16, many of them are certainly welcome additions, and more than a few will look familiar if your email client of choice is Google's email, Gmail. There's a look at what Apple's announced for iOS 16 Mail, along with my first impressions of the features that I've been able to use so far. iOS 16 Mail search improvements. Probably the most substantial change in Mail will be the changes Apple plans to make to the app's search functionality. And that's good news. I find the current iteration of search in iOS 15's version of Mail to be fairly hit or miss. I especially don't care for scrolling through long lists of search results trying to find one specific email. iOS 16 Mail promises to change that, with Apple claiming that searches will now bring up results not just based on the content of your search, but also on your own behavior. Presumably, your previous search history will influence future search results, particularly if you spend a lot of time looking for the same kind of information in your emails. That sounds like the sort of feature that becomes more apparent over time. And indeed, I haven't seen many examples of how this works in my own iOS 16 beta use. I have noticed that the list of search results is more streamlined than before. Instead of iOS 16's long list of people and email subject lines related to my search query, iOS 16 Mail produces a more compact list, with people, subject lines, and attachments appearing under a suggestions heading. I'm not seeing the more elaborate search results that Apple shows in its iOS 16 preview page, where search results in Mail are also broken down to include documents and links relevant to search results. It could well be the search feature isn't fully formed in the current version of the beta, or that search results will add these capabilities over time. Apple also promises that its onboard search engine is getting smarter, too, by recognizing typos in your search terms and searching for what you actually meant to type instead. I've yet to see this feature in action on my test phone, but that should save some time correcting search queries. It's worth noting that Apple also promises improved search capabilities for the version of Mail that ships with macOS Ventura, the Mac software update that's arriving at the same time as iOS 16 in the fall. We've also got a macOS Ventura hands-on hot link that looks at the public beta of what that Mac software. iOS 16 Mail scheduled send. This will be old hat to Gmail users, but iOS 16 Mail gains the ability to schedule emails, and the feature is already live in the iOS 16 beta. Scheduling emails is a nice productivity booster, especially if you want your message landing in someone's inbox at a specific time. It removes the burden of having to manually press the send button if you're going to be tied up or nowhere near your phone at the designated time. iOS 16 also makes it very simple to schedule emails. Just press and hold on the send button, and a pop-up menu will appear. You'll see the option to send the message now or at a time later in the day. If you want to set a specific time, just tap send later, and you'll see a calendar view that lets you set the date and time for your message to go out. iOS 16 Mail, unsending mails. Emails. One of the most significant new features in Mail with iOS 16 is the ability to unsend emails. The process works much like the new unsend text feature in iOS 16 Messages, through the window to rethink about what you did is much smaller in Mail. When I initially tested iOS 16 Mail, the app gave me 10 seconds to unsend an email, which isn't much time when compared to the unsend text feature. However, as the fourth developer beta for iOS 16, you can go into the Mail's settings and choose among 10, 20, and 30 second windows to unsend a message. You can also disable the feature entirely. In Mail, the unsend command appears on the bottom of the screen right after you've tapped send. iOS 16 Mail reminders and follow-ups. Another pair of productivity-minded additions to iOS 16 Mail aims to keep important emails from falling through the cracks. A Remind Me feature lets you select a message that you've already read to resurface at a set time so that you can return to it then. A follow-up feature automatically detects messages you've sent that include deadlines and other calls to action, prompting you to send a subsequent email if you have yet to get a response. Remind Me is the more straightforward addition, and it's already visible in the iOS 16 beta. On the message in question, just swipe right. Next to the button to mark the message as unread, you can now tap a button that says Later. On the subsequent pop-up menu, you can have Mail resurface the message in an hour, later that night, the next day, or at a time and date you set. So far, I've found Remind Me to be particularly helpful for reminding me of appointments and interviews set up via mail a few days before they happen so that I can make sure I'm prepared. I haven't really seen the follow-up feature in action, although I suspect that might change the more I use iOS 16 Mail. Supposedly, requests to send additional data or specific deadlines on tasks will trigger the follow-up prompts in Mail, but we'll see how it works as the iOS 16 beta process rolls on. The feature also requires the U.S. English language, so it won't be available to all iOS 16 users. Personally, as someone whose inbox is deluged with follow-up emails about unsolicited and largely irrelevant topics, I kind of wish Apple left this iOS 16 edition on the cutting room floor, although apparently you can disable this feature if you prefer. iOS 16's Mail's improved smarts. A bunch of iOS 16 Mail additions can be grouped together under the heading of Mail is getting much smarter. This includes the same dictation enhancement Apple introduced to the iOS 16 Messages app, where you can now compose messages with your voice and your iPhone is smart enough to insert punctuation and even emojis. Another example of beefed up intelligence features in iOS 16 Mail is that the app can now detect when you've forgotten to attach something you mentioned in the body of your email and will remind you to add the attachment should you hit the send button. The same feature will work for messages recipients mentioned in the email but not included in the to field. Again, this is a feature I've yet to see materialize when using iOS 16 Mail on my phone, so I'm unsure if Apple has yet to enable it or if it's a capability that begins to appear the more you use Mail. Finally, iOS 16 Mail adds the ability to insert rich links into your email, providing your recipients with a viewable preview of a website instead of a text link. It's simply a matter of tapping the URL so that a drop-down arrow appears. Select the arrow, and you have the option of converting your URL into a rich link. You can also convert it back using the same process. iOS 16 Mail Outlook. None of the above changes are going to lead off anyone's list of the top iOS 16 features, not when you can do things like customize the lock screen or copy text out of videos, but they should make composing and finding emails much easier than in the current version of Apple's built-in app. And that's a positive development if you use your iPhone to get things done. Philip Michaels is a managing editor at Tom's Guide. He's been covering personal technology since 1999 and was in the building when Steve Jobs showed off the iPhone for the first time. He's been evaluating smartphones since that first iPhone debuted in 2007, and he's been following phone carriers and smartphone plans since 2015. He has strong opinions about Apple, the Oakland Athletics, old movies, and proper butchery techniques. Follow him at Philip Michaels. From NCRS, please join us for our 2022 New Visions Gala, celebrating a brighter future, benefiting the North Carolina Reading Service, September 9th, 2022. 6:30 to 9:30 p.m., cocktails, dinner, program. 9:30 to 11 p.m., dancing. Cocktail attire suggested. At the Hilton Raleigh North Hills, 3415 Wake Forest Road, Raleigh, North Carolina, 27609. Tickets $125 per person, tables of eight, $1,000. Cocktail hour precedes dinner, New Visions Showcase, silent auction. www.ncreadingservice.org. We've run out of time for this week's episode of Vision News. Be sure to listen next week. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Vision News is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have comments or questions, call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.